Ara Galea, Inside the People's Struggle in Colombo. Directed and produced by Isuru Kumar Singha and Devana Suna Nayaka.
போராட்டம் வாழ்க. Let the protest live on.
I find it interesting that you said toxic relationship because I feel like the majority of Sri Lanka when it comes to, I guess, millennials and Gen Z, I feel like we are all in toxic relationships with the previous generation, including our parents sometimes. We have this very traumatic, all of us have in many ways grown up in trauma, grown up with the war, grown up seeing our uncles getting killed, our parents getting punished for the good things they're doing and for being honest and conducting themselves with integrity at work, you know, various things like that. I feel like we are mashed in between this.
Given where I am now compared to where I was before, I had no clue what would happen, how things would have been. So I guess I really have no clue how things are gonna go. But personally, I'm just going to observe, to act, to do what I think is right, and see where that takes me. See where my own journey and the journey of this society as a whole, to see where it takes me.
Yeah, it was happened, you know, the mixing all the out of pitches and pitching and making some different chords, you know. It's not major, minor, it's different chord. If you carefully listen, then what is Godagama pitch? So you can find it's a different mix of the, there's a coherence, you know, the pitches. Whether they're out, this is, I was listening to that sound. The whole sound, the some people make kaputu ka ka ka, some people getting into another basil 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 kaputu ka ka ka, it's like a Tamil movie sometimes, you know. It's Sometimes it's like ta 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 ta, beat on simple, ka 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 ka, ta 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 ta, basil, basil, basil. A lot of sounds, there are classics and everything, you know. I was imagining Dito, Dito and Kapdukak and everything get together. Triplets. Count. Pa 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 pa. Ta 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 ta.
From the start of the protest or the people's movement, I'd like to call it, we've seen people being criticized for the ways they protested, to bring a horn, you know. Some have chosen to dance, some have chosen to sing, some have chosen to do other things, some have chosen to go and break a barrier somewhere, you know. So, so when this came up of, you know, you can't protest like this. My initial reaction was, we as a country, this has happened. If my memory is right, if my history is correct, this has never happened in this country. You know, maybe in the 50s there was something like this, but not anything that we know of in the modern day. So we don't know how to protest. We don't know how a revolution evolves.
Huge sound from the sea, you know. It's continuous. So if you talk, if you make any sound, so you have to consider the sea sound, okay? If you use sound equipment or without sound equipment, we have a challenge. The second thing is the sea breeze, you know, and the rain. Those kind of the already there, you know, before the GGG struggle. Then the most important thing is the sound of the people, then the musicians made the musical things and other things, you know, noises.
Yeah. as a result of everyone's experiences, we need to be conscious citizens at this moment. We have tolerated a lot as people and cannot tolerate it anymore.
Any revolution, art has played an immense role, and I think that's what art should be doing, because art, like I mentioned before, should be creating that mirror for the society to be honestly looking at themselves and changing. And art cannot be preachy. We cannot be saying this is right, this is wrong, but we should rather be showing what is going on in a very in an honest form. And I think music, films, everything should represent that.
People would often sing songs that have nationalist or racist undertones. They might not even be aware of that, because these songs have been, I guess, poured into their heads since they were children, and they don't really focus on the lyrics or what the song is trying to say or the political, social, historical context of the song. We wanted to take it a step further. We wanted to make a change to that and bring forward original compositions as much as possible. And for that, we made sure that we worked with a lot of artists.
The middle, the variety of things happen in the middle. The different alternative music, sound experiments, a lot of things happen in the middle. So that was, let's go.
The tone was set by people themselves, like the cajons or the people. I mean, nobody would give them a pitch to start singing. They would just start chanting. They probably, there's probably coherence because you hear, you pick up the pitch from other sounds. The government or even certain other authorities in the country who oppress people with their sounds. You have certain institutions, religious institutions as well, playing something on loudspeakers every evening or every morning or something, and it would be very disturbing to other people. It's not something that you ask for. And it was more democratic. Like I said, more accommodating. Yeah. Instead of a certain group of people saying, hey, we are the ones who have authority over sound in here.
Loving the people despite, disregarding where they come from, who they really are, their gender, their sexuality. whether it's a minorities or majorities. I think it's, I don't know, I feel like it's a far-fetched dream, but still we should work ourselves up to move there. I think loving should mainly be acceptance. We need to tolerate, we need to accept, we need to honor. And that's, I think, what a true leader of Sri Lanka should be doing.
We designed a performance that features children. The children take center stage and they sing about their problems as children. You know, there's no electricity, my mom's at the petrol queue, my dad's at this queue, I don't have friends, I can't go to school anymore. Their problems, with the women from the parade backing them with percussions and guitars and other instruments.
I was thinking we will do some funeral march, we will arrange that. We asked some people to bring Malabera and Tamil percussions and everyday life, you know, instruments.
And we also used the bell, the church bell.
Yeah, and we got some...
Malasino.
It's called Malasino. It's the bell which... But playing the Christian... for the Christian funeral, we got that also. And
we used the Nadeswaram.
Nadeswaram.
Used for temple processions, Hindu processions.
It's a multicultural... symbolization, you know, Tamil, Hindu, and Buddhist, Christian. I was there with trumpet and I was playing the trumpet. It's close to impression of the Near My God. I used that and it was a mixed kind of thing, the several Tamil and Buddhist.
what this protests has, or the people's movement has proven, is that our conscience is still alive, is still intact, thankfully. Yes, our minds might have been corrupted, divided, confused, call it what may. Our bodies have been, we've been murdered, tortured, killed, arrested, whatever. But the conscience of this country and the conscience of the people, of the mass, still remains. And that is where we need to nurture the seed of love and honest, respect and understanding.
I never experienced that kind of sound before GGG.
Time souls. Aragalea, Inside the People's Struggle in Colombo. Featuring King Ratnam, Anu Madhu Bashani, Dunupa Koda Koda, Ajit Kumar Siri, Namini Panchala. Directed and produced by Isuru Kumar Singha and Devana Sona Nayaka. Co-produced by Norient and Goethe Institute.
Hi, my name is Yannick Sithampalam, and welcome to the bonus talk of the Colombo Time Zones episode, co-produced by Norient and the Goethe Institute. Here with me are the producers of the episode, Devana Senanayake and Isuru Kumarasinghe. This episode explores the music and the art of the Aragalaya, the protest movement birthed by the simultaneous crises that have befallen our troubled island. The last few years have been tumultuous, and the last few months significantly more so. The largest protests were in Colombo, especially at the semi-permanent protest site at Goldface Green, now called Gotha Gogama, after the primary demand of the Aragalaya, the resignation of President Gotabaya Rajapaksa. But aside from the anger and the frustration one feels at Gotha Gogama, there is also much joy and beauty. The place is always alive, with music, chants, murals and sculptures, speeches and performances. For artists working during this time, the struggle of daily life is offset by a hopefulness, an optimism, that what we do today might sow the seeds of a brighter future. If you haven't already listened to the episode, I suggest you check it out after this talk. Firstly, for Devana, why did you choose the theme of the episode on Sri Lanka?
I felt like this was such a significant moment in our lives. Like, I've never been part of a movement within the country before, not something that feels as relevant and as important as this particular movement felt. So I felt like, hey, why don't we sort of try and capture in whatever way we can the essence of this movement with a focus on the artists and the performers there and how they sort of create and make art and why they do it and how it can sort of add muscle to the movement and how it retains the momentum and how it actually impacts people's emotions as well.
Mm-hmm. 10 years from now, how do you think we'll view this time, especially in connection with art and identity?
Let's think about it this way. We have seen people's uprising in 88-89, but I have a memory of people telling me what is it like. And it wasn't a nice memory. So let's say when we come back to 2022, we are seeing a Aragalaya in a different manner, which we haven't seen before. And this was kind of reframing us, saying, okay, you don't need to be kind of completely violent and like destructive about it. Rather, think about this chaos into a different manner. This was very interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's actually really interesting because I spoke to some of the people who were running the library, the free library, mm-hmm. and I was asking him why he set it up. And they were actually telling me that as a kid, his memories of 89, for example, and even 71, it was clouded by a lot of bloodshed and violence and turmoil. And he wants people, especially children and young people who come to the library, to understand that uprisings, rebellions, movements can be a place of peace, can be a place of education, can be a place of respite. And he hopes that those are the memories that they take forward, not so much the anger or the frustration or the conflict.
Yeah, so I guess we are like witnessing like a political revolution in the way that people protest. Okay, so do you think there's also like a cultural revolution in the sense, in the way that artists create music, in the way that they, like the what they're inspired by, for instance?
Yes, in my understanding, mm-hmm. As a musician, I had a really difficult time, like discussion of like among other musicians, we have this idea of music education in Sri Lanka, which is quite not very, let's say, people don't know how to kind of recognize things or like people don't know so much. They might do it not knowingly, but they don't know so much about it. So the first time in Aragalaya, we are seeing random people coming together, even a horn, like a car horn, rhythmically trying to match with the sound of the protest. This is sort of a learning curve. So it's a sort of a cultural learning curve. So people trying to make things, the humor of like how do we approach this was actually, if you think about it culturally, we are seeing different dynamics rather than before, you know, saying somebody's there are specific people who do this music or whatever the things, but right now there are people trying to think it creatively, you know, the people who completely don't have a musical background, they're try to think about it, which is a good thing for me.
Do you think the protests have made Sri Lankan society more unified, or is it just a surface level thing?
I feel like the unity, the togetherness, the collectiveness you see is not uncommon in Colombo. I think that's a very common thing in Colombo. A lot of different races, classes, ethnicities, religions mix. I do think it's also surface level. You can't see it as actual social change. For example, a lot of the people were saying that a lot of Tamil people from the north and the east weren't there, and they had very valid reasons to not be there. So there is a lack of understanding about, for example, the impact of racism, discrimination, the segregation of Tamil people in the north and the east. There is that. People don't really understand the root causes of why they're unable to participate, but also how they have suffered over the years, not just for protesting, but just for being who they are. So yeah, I feel like it's very surface level. I do think one of the good things perhaps is we do have youth who are very idealistic. Perhaps the young people, the children, the young people who are there, they are a lot less prejudiced, and I feel like they're a lot more open. And I think that fresh idealism is something that's desperately needed in Sri Lanka.
What do you think is the importance of recording and documentation for the Aragalaya? So now, like, as the Kota Kalamanga is gone now, and it's only a memory for a lot of us, and it will change in the future. What do you think the importance is of things like this, where we record and try and keep these memories alive?
I used to do field recordings for a long time. Then I kind of like stopped once, you know, for one point, because this is the time which like all these social media trying to kind of like put everybody starting to take pictures, you know. So there was a time we all kind of take pictures and do video recording or what. So I used to do field recordings as a musician. So one point I stopped because I felt like it's another kind of like adding up a memory whether I need to kind of like do it or not. But, I mean, that's my artistic side of it. But when I think about the Gota Goga man, like when I see these sort of like, we never experienced sound, or we never experienced this sort of like gathering or like all these things, which is very interesting to kind of like capture. And the question also, where you don't know how to capture, you because you can't actually capture one thing, you know, it's many things together. So you basically have to kind of think about various different things. How do you do? Even as an example of when you perform there, you don't know who you perform to, kind of. You are not performing to everyday crowd or the people you know. Or you completely don't know how to kind of like adjust to that. So this way thinking, like, I think it's very interesting to capture, you know. Mm-hmm.
I just have to quickly add, when I think about previous uprisings, because we've talked about 1988, 89, we don't really have the perspectives of the youth. A lot of the youth were decimated from the second insurrection specifically. So I think in that respect, documentation is also very important.
Mm-hmm. In Sri Lanka, what do you think are the unique protest things you only find in Sri Lanka?
Occupation of president's houses. But then Iraq has started doing that.
Yeah. It's trending.
Is there really any other ideas?
Anything uniquely Sri Lanka?
Well, actually, the people created their own chants, you know. Like, earlier, it was more kind of, you know, student protesters who were using these sort of chants. I never seen normal, everyday people coming up with a completely new idea of chants.
Yeah, that's true. It is a very unique nice chant, yeah.
Oh, I know something that's uniquely Sri Lankan. The Nanaka, they do the Antihonian chant.
Right.
They did some big, like, anti-charming session.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, it was ward away the black magic and keep the white magic.
Yeah. Actually, that's true. That's a way of protesting in Sri Lanka. We do think about whenever somebody was, like, doing something bad for us, we find a different energy source to deal
There's
with
that ritualistic aspect of it. Religion actually played a really important part in the protest, and it kind of kept the momentum going.
Thank you, Devana and Isuru, for sharing your insights and reflections and for revealing a little bit of the process behind your work. It was interesting to see your personal perspectives, the protest, working and struggling during this time. This was the bonus talk of the Colombo Time Zones episode, co-produced by Norient and the Goethe Institute. Oh, my God.